Hello, I'm Joseph McKeown. This is number 0307, the Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0307. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, you'll meet Donnell Dadigan, the founder and president of the Hollywood Museum. They just got some rare, never-before-seen photos of Marilyn Monroe.
You know, Marilyn Monroe is one of these Hollywood icons that grows in popularity every year. And you know, she's been gone for 50 some odd years. And let me tell you, her popularity is more today than it was 50 years ago.
Bob Dorigo Jones is back to talk about this year's Wacky Warning Labels contest. Give us an example of a nominee this year, Bob.
Well, we have a warning label that was found on a ceiling-mounted smoke alarm. Everybody's familiar with these little discs. It's about the size of a cereal bowl. It says, warning, the silence feature is intended to temporarily silence the horn while you identify and correct the problem. It will not extinguish a fire.
Barbara Van Orden is the co-creator of Senior Star Search for talent over 55 years of age.
There are so many out there of seniors that are so talented, and yet a lot of them just kind of hang it up, as they say. Say they were a Broadway star. Say they were played nightclubs. And when they are no longer available, the nightclubs itself, or roles on Broadway, they kind of just say, well, I guess it's over. Well, you know what? Like Yogi Berra said, it's not over till it's over.
And there's lots and lots and lots of stuff, and of course, an idiot of the day, the guest Slater. The person who told you this was show number 0307 was Joseph McKeon, who is a product specialist at Lightspeed. They're a point-of-sale software provider that's based right here in Montreal. And by the way, Joseph is also one hell of a piano player. Gotta put that in there too. Thank you very much, Joseph, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File program, a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, marijuana is purported to make some heavy users paranoid, and the January arrest of alleged Bozeman, Montana dealers Leland Ayala De Leonte, age 21, and Craig Holland, age 22, may have been a case in point. Passersby had reported the two men pacing along the side of Golden Beauty Drive in Rexburg, which is in Idaho, and, when approached by a car, would throw their hands up until the vehicle passed. When police finally arrived, one suspect shouted, "We give up! We know we're surrounded! The drugs," which was 20 pounds of marijuana, "are over there!" According to an Idaho Falls Post Register, they were not surrounded, nor had they been followed by undercover officers, as the men claimed. They were just paranoid. Well, you know, every once in a while, police are entitled to the world's easiest caller, don't you think? Yeah. And 19-year-old Danicia Lachelle Heller of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, had been ripped off, so she called the police. "He got my money and I want my drugs. Can you send an officer?" That's right. Heller wanted the police to help her complete her $5 marijuana purchase from her dealer. When Broward County Sheriff's deputies arrived, they found Heller talking to herself and allegedly in possession of Alpha PVP, which is a street drug known as Flacca. She was arrested and charged on drug possession and misuse of the 911 system. Again, another example of some of the world's easiest callers. Now, when Santa Ana, California started licensing medical marijuana, you see a pattern here? Three marijuana stories in a row. Just telling you that right now. When they first started licensing marijuana dispensaries, it only gave out 20 permits, and Sky High Holistics didn't get one, so they weren't completely surprised when they were raided. The store's surveillance footage shows at least 8 officers entering the store with guns drawn and ordering customers and workers to the ground. Then officers were seen removing the surveillance cameras, except for one hidden camera that the store had placed in anticipation of the raid. That camera kept running as officers began smelling, then allegedly eating, the store's marijuana edibles. The group seems to have enjoyed themselves as they laughed and continued eating. The store released an edited video to the media, and the Santa Ana Police Department is conducting an internal investigation. "We're obviously concerned about the conduct that we saw in the edited video," said Police Commander Chris Revere. "We're also concerned that the video was heavily edited. We'd like to see the original video in its unedited version." Revere said he couldn't say for certain if the officers were consuming pot edibles in the video. Well, if they can't do a blood test, just put out several bags of Doritos and see what happens. You might get your answer that way. Okay, we have a Darwin file story for you, folks. You know what this means, don't you? Yes. CNN reports a man who mocked alligators, then jumped into the water despite warning signs, is dead after being attacked by the alligator in Texas. Orange County police were called to Buckhart's Marina near the Louisiana state line after reports that 28-year-old Tommy Woodward and an unidentified woman were swimming in a bayou and had been attacked by a large alligator. Woodward's body was found several hours later. The woman was not injured. There were numerous no swimming alligator signs posted around the bayou. Woodward even ignored several verbal warnings by saying, "Bleep the alligators," then removed his shorts, taking his billfold out of his pockets, and then yelling, "Cannonball!" Yeah. And then, of course, cannonballing into the water. Woodward yelled almost immediately for help as a 10-foot alligator attacked him. A witness heard a man yell, "A gator's got him!" And Woodward pleaded for help, saying, "Somebody shoot this thing, it's eating me." In an emotional interview, a witness, Debbie Wright, said, "I saw his body floating face down, and then he's out there for a couple of seconds, and then he's dragged back down, and then he comes back up still face down, and then he's pulled down again, and then he just disappears." Wright, who said she knew the victim and his family, said it was a moment she will never forget. Yeah. She described the event as heartbreaking. Woodward had recently moved to the area from St. Louis with his twin brother, who I'm assuming is brighter than him, and was working at a nearby shipyard. Now, if this isn't a quintessential Darwin file story, then I don't know what is. Because, you know, the tree of life is often self-pruning, and I'm sorry to sound so cold and callous, but this is a guy who was a moron, and the alligator probably felt that he had just suddenly hit the lottery. Yeah, that's basically how that works out. And finally, in the section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, this next story does not go into the Darwin file, but the outcome is basically the same. And the reason why it doesn't go into the Darwin file, because alcohol is involved in this one. A young man who was drinking, thereby losing part of his faculties, whatever few faculties he had, and celebrating the 4th of July, tried to launch a firework off the top of his head, fatally injuring himself. Devon Staples and his friends had been drinking and setting off fireworks Saturday night in the backyard of a friend's home in the small eastern Maine city of Calais, which is just on the other side of the Canadian border. This report, according to Stephen McCausland, who was a spokesman for the state deputy of public safety. The 22-year-old Staples placed a fireworks mortar tube on his head and set it off. The firework exploded, killing Staples instantly. His death is the first fireworks fatality in Maine since the state legalized fireworks back on January 1st, 2012. Now, state fire marshals were also investigating several other 4th of July fireworks accidents involving injuries in Friendship, Jefferson, Lebanon, and Woodstock. They said most of the accidents involved burns and eye injuries. Now, in 2011, lawmakers voted to repeal a 1949 law banning fireworks, reasoning the industry would create jobs and generate additional revenue. Well, maybe additional revenue for funeral homes, the medical profession, and the makers of prosthetic limbs. Anyway, let's get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Donnell Dadigan is the founder and president of the Hollywood Museum and the owner of the Max Factor Building. Donnell has recently purchased and secured the copyrights to hundreds of never-before-seen rare photos of Marilyn Monroe that are part of a display that's there until September the 6th. And joining us on the line right now to talk about it is Donnell Dadigan. She's in California. Hi, Donnell.
Hey, how are you?
Jess Tickety-Boo, thanks for being on the program with us. Now, as you're fully aware, Marilyn Monroe has been gone from us now for well over 50 years, but there seems to be this ongoing fascination. I mean, you at the museum have a permanent exhibit dedicated to Marilyn, which is now expanding with these extra pictures that you have. What is it about Marilyn Monroe that still, to this day, fascinates the general population?
Oh, such a great question, and I'm so glad you asked that. You know, Marilyn Monroe is one of these Hollywood icons that grows in popularity, I believe, every year. And you know, she's been gone for 50-some-odd years. And let me tell you, her popularity is more today than it was 50 years ago. It's extraordinary. And I think it's because she has this great, unique quality. You know, it's not necessarily a talent. I believe it's a quality. And this quality that she has, people would die to have. And that is that she is true, she is real, she is beautiful, naturally beautiful. And both men and women can relate to her. And what I love is the fact that women enjoy her films, learning more about her, seeing her. They don't feel threatened by her beauty. Because she's real, she's natural, and she makes mistakes, and she never had a problem admitting to that. So these women look at her as a real person, a real being, just like they are. And they feel sorry for her, and she makes mistakes, and they want to come and try to help her. Where men look at her, of course they think she's fabulously gorgeous, you know, really beautiful, stunning, stunning woman. Great film, and she has this quality. This vulnerable quality that men always feel they need to come and rescue her. But that being said, what's interesting is women are not jealous that their men ogle and admire and adore and worship Marilyn Monroe. And men don't have a problem that their women feel the same way. So it's a very unique situation that this Hollywood icon is as popular with men as she is with women, as popular with older people as with younger people, for completely different reasons, but it's a fact. She is popular.
But you also mentioned two very distinct things, and that is women are not necessarily threatened by her and sometimes feel a little bit sorry for her, and men are looking to save her. So do you think part of the situation is, once we learn the details of her tragic death and then digest more details about her troubled life, that we feel in our hearts that we could somehow correct this story, even though she's so long gone?
Well, you know, again, it's really an insightful comment that you've made. And I have to tell you, I wish that we could correct that, but we can't. So we just admire and appreciate her for all of her weaknesses and reality and what a poor set of cards she was dealt for her life. She really didn't deserve it. And she was quite something. I understand from people that knew her that she was very loyal and very true. And she'd probably give you the shirt off of her own back if she could. And she had. Okay. She had done that many times.
Now, you, we're talking about the pictures that are hundreds of never-before-seen rare photos. Where did you get these from, first of all?
Well, it's exciting because they're from Milton Green. And Milton Green was a very well-known fashion photographer. And he met Marilyn on a fashion photo shoot. And I have to say that he fell in love with the image of Marilyn. He was married and happily married, and Marilyn enjoyed Milton and his wife, Anne. In fact, she would vacation with them at their home in Connecticut for long periods of time between films and to get away from Hollywood. But Over the course of Marilyn's last 10 years of her life, Milton Greene took photos like you can't imagine of Marilyn. And she trusted him implicitly to the point that he was her partner when she started Marilyn Monroe Productions. So these photos have never before been seen. They just sat in Milton Greene's vault. And his son Joshua Greene had made them available. And we are thrilled here at the Hollywood Museum that we were able to purchase them in auction. But let me just go on and say one more thing about this. It's not that we just purchased the photos. We purchased the negatives and the transparencies. And most importantly, we purchased the copyrights. Because Marilyn, being the most photographed woman in the world and the most desired celebrity in the world to have a photograph of, it is very valuable to be able to have the copyright, because then you can use it forever.
Now, the photos, as you just described, the way Milton Greene had been around her and shot these, so I'm assuming that it's not just fashion shoots, but also candid shots?
Well, yes. You know, it's interesting. Right now on display, and I have just the tip of the iceberg on display. We're just thrilled about it. I mean, we have photographs with her, with Marlene Dietrich, with Hedda Hopper, with Sammy Davis Jr., with Milton Berle, candids behind the film Bus Stop, seeing her with makeup, without makeup, well-lit, black and white, Ektachrome color. It's just amazing. It's really a treasure trove that we were able to purchase from the Milton Greene estate.
And with such a treasure trove, how do you decide which ones to put on display?
What a great question. What a great question. I'd love to tell you I shut my eyes and just point, but no, you know, we have a committee and we think about it, and little by little we'll be unveiling more and more and more. For this exhibit, we chose just a few that I mentioned to portray Marilyn as seen through the camera lens of Milton Greene.
With a permanent exhibit already there at your museum, at the Hollywood Museum, and the world in general has seen so many pictures of Marilyn Monroe. When you first got your hands on these and you went through them, was there anything that you saw, even though you've already seen so much, that just took your breath away?
You know, there were just so many different choices, but one that comes to mind is a photograph of Marilyn standing on the first steps of the bleachers in the film Bus Stop when they're going to a rodeo. And normally when you see it in the film, it's filled with onlookers cheering and rooting for their favorite cowboy. But the photograph that really got me is Marilyn very early in the morning. No doubt she's walking off the scenes and kind of getting the feel of it. And she is in jeans with a jean jacket buttoned up, boots, a cowboy hat on, hair pulled back, and no makeup. Just fabulous. You know, you see the iridescence of her. She had radiant skin. She had beautiful eye color. And it all comes out naturally without makeup.
As the founder and president of the Hollywood Museum, you have the opportunity to see people come and go all the time who see your permanent exhibit and now this additional exhibit you have of Marilyn Monroe. You must get a sense from people who come in as to how they feel about Marilyn and what they say about Marilyn. How do you think Marilyn would react to just what her iconic status has become beyond her own life?
Oh, again, another great question. You know, our permanent exhibit at the museum is quite something, quite extraordinary, and it's housed in our blondes-only room where Max Factor made Marilyn Monroe the platinum blonde that we love and that we recognize to be Marilyn Monroe. Of course, she was born with blonde hair, but by the time she was a teenager and at her first marriage, we have the wedding photograph that shows her as a brunette. So Max Factor recreated possibly that blonde color when she was a child, but heightened it ever so much, so turning it to the color that the cameras love and we equate to Marilyn Monroe. So people come in, they see that, they see the advertisements, they see her dresses, they see the dress she married, she took on the honeymoon when she married Joe DiMaggio, she entertained the troops at UFO shows in Korea, in 1954. So they love all of that. And then when they see the expanded exhibit that takes from childhood all the way through her death, including furniture in her home, her refrigerator, glasses, dishes, photographs of Marilyn with us, you know, costumes from her favorite films, personal wardrobe that she wore. And the best thing about Marilyn, if it was Marilyn's, believe me, you'd have a photograph of her in it, because she was the most photographed woman in the world at the time. So even her personal Pucci hot pink top that she wore, a beautiful jersey top that she wore, well, of course there's photographs of her, because she set foot outside her house. And what do you know? It was used in her last photo shoot with the famous photographer George Barris.
Wow.
So it's fun to be able to document this, see Marilyn wearing these items, see her lounging in her home on the furniture that we show. It's very exciting. And the stars that are living love to come and see how we portray Marilyn. And the guests who come in from all over the world, they feel that they're going to walk away with a little piece of Marilyn, and they got an insight into her.
Excellent. People can see this at the Hollywood Museum, which, by the way, it's open to the public Wednesdays through Sundays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. People can find out more information at the website, which is thehollywoodmuseum.com. Donnell, thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
I enjoyed every moment of it. Thank you.
Donnell Dadigan, founder and president of the Hollywood Museum. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0307, and you'll find links to the museum's website.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander's show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey, your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of the Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick, if you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands. Just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Viewer discretion is advised. But then again, why are you staring at a radio program?
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to Bob DiRigo-Jones about this year's Wacky Warning Labels contest. Plus, we'll meet the co-creator of Senior Star Search. And of course, we do have an idiot of the day coming your way a little later on a program also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. But right here, right now, we've got more Stuff File news for your listening pleasure. A suspicious item that prompted a Cincinnati courthouse evacuation turned out to be a perfume bottle shaped like a World War II grenade. Hamilton County Sheriff Jim Neal told reporters that the bottle was shaped like a pineapple hand grenade and was in a woman's suitcase. The building was evacuated at around 8:30 and it then closed for the rest of the day after a suspicious item was noted in a security screening. Sheriff's officials Jim Knapp said earlier that something didn't look right in the screening. A bomb-sniffing dog was brought over, and authorities evacuated the courthouse based on its response. Neil says he isn't sure what prompted the dog's response. Well, maybe the dog wears a different perfume. He said, by the way, that no charges are expected. Now, what I want to know is, in this day and age, what perfume company is selling their products in decanters shaped like grenades? They must have a hell of a time shipping these things anywhere. Okay, organizers of an egg-tossing event in Britain said an attempt to launch an egg into space reached an altitude of nearly 22 miles. The Swaton Vintage Day and World Egg Throwing Championships featured the Explorer 1 weather balloon launch, which took an egg to an altitude of 21.7 miles before returning to Earth east of Hull. A video of the launch was shared on YouTube, but organizers said the onboard camera failed to send any pictures back to Mission Control during the flight. A helium egg balloon was launched also at the event and was later found less than 13 miles from the Danish border. Festival organizers say they are making plans to launch Explorer 2 at next year's celebration. Well, how exciting. I'm sure the citizens were egging the launch on. Glad to hear that they're hatching new plans for next year. Should I stop now? Yeah. Anyway, notwithstanding the suggestion in movies, stealing a 200-pound floor model safe is a very low-return crime, as the February arrest of three pals in Kingsport, Tennessee, illustrated. After struggling to load the safe into the car's trunk, accidentally shattering the back window, they drove to one's apartment, but police were called when neighbors saw the safe being dragged across the parking lot in the middle of the night. During the trip, it fell on one of the perp's foot, by the way. Police followed gouge marks, visited the apartment, and spotted the safe, as yet unopened, in the middle of the kitchen. Here's what the police asked. Why do you gentlemen have a safe? Here's what the perps said. We found it in an alley. Police opened it. It was empty. I was inclined, by the way, to make these clowns the idiots of the day, but these guys are just too pathetically sad. I mean, really. Pathetically sad. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, Steve Marrick, a hypnotist in Frankfort, Kentucky, ran a newspaper advertisement advising women that he could help enlarge their breasts one full cup size without surgery or implants safely through hypnosis with a program developed by a medical doctor. The state's attorney general wasn't amused and sued the therapist on a charge of deceptive business practices. Marrick told investigators that he had performed the technique on two friends about a year ago, but only as a personal favor. Yeah, and I wonder how long those two friends were clucking like chickens. Anyway, let's get to our next guest, shall we? Each week, you get to hear Bob Dorigo Jones with his Let's Be Fair segments. He's the guy who's behind the annual Wacky Warning Labels contest, which proves just how far some companies will go to avoid being sued by consumers for stupid mishaps. If you've heard last week's show, then you know that the nominations for the 18th annual contest have been announced. So, Bob, who is also the author of Remove the Child Before Folding, 101 Stupidest, Silliest, Wackiest Warning Labels Ever, is on to talk about this year's entries. He's joining us from Michigan via Skype. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Peter. Nice to talk with you in our 18th annual Wacky Warning Label Contest.
Where do the years go?
I guess I remember when you and I were talking about the Remove Child Before Folding label that that you just mentioned, that was the cover of my book that was written almost 10 years ago, and it came along before that.
Yeah, so time flies, and I know I ask you this question every year. I'll start off with it right away. Do you ever think you will run out of wacky warning labels?
I don't think we'll run out of labels, but I'm concerned that we get a lot of repeats now. People will hear something, and they don't know what happened 15 years ago, so they'll see that label and think it's news. And so we have a lot of repeats, so I would encourage everybody who's listening, look around your home, your office for warning labels, because you have a pretty good chance of winning some good money if you find a hilarious label.
Now, Can we divide them between two categories, and that is one, and maybe you can tell me there's a percentage between the two. One, an American company that for whatever legal reasons decides that it needs to have this label because they're worried about litigation. And two, foreign companies that just literally lose something in translation.
Yes, we have seen the latter case more and more in recent years. It used to always be American companies trying to protect themselves from lawsuits. We see now foreign companies have become aware of the litigation problem in America, so they're putting warnings on. For example, we talked about a pen that had a cap, and the warnings came in four different languages. It was produced in another country. It was in English, Spanish, French, and German. And the only language that said don't swallow the pen cap was English. So they know that they don't have to worry about being sued in these other countries. But that's a legitimate concern. The translations, we saw one last year, it was on a cell phone charger that said get rid of children. It made absolutely no sense. And they're so desperate to keep up with all the warnings, I think sometimes they just lose track of what they're saying.
So in this 18th annual contest for the Wacky Warning Labels, what are the nominees this year?
Well, we have a warning label that was found on a ceiling-mounted smoke alarm. Everybody's familiar with these little discs. It's about the size of a cereal bowl. It says, warning, the silence feature is intended to temporarily silence the horn while you identify and correct the problem. It will not extinguish a fire.
Now, again, you do research into all of these things. Did you get in contact with that company to find out why they needed to word it in this way? Does someone think that by stopping the fire alarm, you're stopping the fire?
Well, in this case, I wasn't able to talk with them, and I'll talk briefly about that. Almost no companies want to talk about these lawsuits because they're afraid of copycat lawsuits, and they don't want to acknowledge that a product can be misused in this way. It's very, very serious business to them. And the only companies I'm generally able to get through to are the small entrepreneurial type of companies that are run by and the person that invented the product. So in this case, though, I have a very high degree of confidence that this one was the result of a lawsuit. Having talked with so many lawyers around the country in cases like this, it's either in anticipation of a lawsuit or because of a lawsuit, and this would fall solidly into either one of those categories.
So what are some of the other nominees for this year?
Here's an interesting one. It's a little one-inch tall, water-absorbent grow toy that looks like the Easter Bunny. It warns, this toy is in no way intended to represent living people. Any resemblance is purely coincidental and not intended to harm anyone.
A bunny, and they say living people?
Right. This thing is an inch tall. It probably delights kids all over North America. They stick it in water, and you watch it expand about 10 times the size of what it is in the little container it comes in. But this one here, this really makes you scratch your head. It probably falls somewhere between the ones manufactured in other countries where it's a mistranslation and the fear of litigation. But this one, I think, is much closer to the fear of lawsuits because it looks like so many disclaimers we see nowadays.
You talk about these all the time on Let's Be Fair. You also talk about it in your newsletter and online. When you have the Wacky Warning Labels contest each and every year, now this is in its 18th year, in the 17 years before, have you ever heard after the contest from any of the companies that made the products whose labels made your list?
That's a great question. We have a couple times. They all verify what we have said, and they all appreciate what we're doing too. A lot of people think, well, you're making fun of these manufacturers. They kind of look dopey when they put a warning label on a scooter that says this product moves when used. Do they feel offended? But no, they get it. They understand that we're trying to raise awareness of the legal environment that they operate in, and they appreciate that we're trying to bring common sense and personal responsibility back. But I'll tell you an interesting story. A long time ago, there's a massage chair that you used to see in a company, I think is out of business now, Sharper Image, had these wonderful massage chairs. You'd walk in and sit in it and you just melt. It was great. And it had a warning label about not using the chair unless you were fully clothed and something else. And they verified that that was needed because of somebody who wasn't fully clothed and got hurt. And that was a very interesting story.
Ouch. Ouch. Now, people all remember certain things like the story of the McDonald's situation where someone got scalded by hot coffee on their lap in their car. And they think about that as probably an early warning sign to some of these situations. But as far as you're concerned, what is ground zero when it comes to, or patient zero when it comes to a wacky warning label? How far back do these go? Or the need for them, I should say.
The first one, the reason that I got the idea for this contest, I read in the New York Times in 1997, there was an article about a Batman cape that had a warning label that says, "Cape does not enable user to fly." And I thought this, and then they talked about the reasons for this and the legal climate and the lawsuits that lead to warning labels like this. And it was perfect. I thought, you know, this is a very serious topic that I work on daily, trying to rid America of all the lawsuits that add so many costs onto people. And it can be a one of those topics when if you get into the nuts and bolts constantly, people's eyes glaze over. So it always helps to have humor. We're talking about esoteric legal concepts sometimes, but everybody can understand when you have a fishing lure that says, "Do not swallow," you know, that there's something wrong as we get to the heart of that. So we use humor as a hook to talk about these larger issues. So it all stems from that one Batman cape. And I don't know if I ever told you this, Peter, but the very first nationwide radio station I was ever on, we talked about that cape, and the host just happened to have jumped off a roof when he was a kid with a Superman cape. And he says, "You know, these warnings really are needed." I'm thinking, I've got to be talking to the only person in the world that actually did that.
Well, I used to jump off banisters in my Batman cape when I was a kid. But the, yeah, the banisters, I'm thinking back now, they would be about, 4.5 feet high?
Off the, right.
Yeah. That's about the only thing I ever jumped off wearing my Batman cape. And even I knew then, Batman isn't the one that flies. Superman, yes. Batman, no.
Well, this guy had a higher opinion of his ability to fly. He went all the way to the roof.
We have just about a minute, and we've only talked about a couple of the ones in the contest this year. What are some of the others?
One of my favorites is a bag of frozen catfish pieces. Warns, contains fish. And here's one that a writer for a very well-known magazine sent to us, and I like this. It's a warning at a bowling alley. Now, this isn't a product. We're getting into a little new territory here, but it says, "Warning, bowl at your own risk. Risk of bodily injury is associated with this game."
Wow.
Bowling. It's like curling. I mean, how many people get injured when they're curling?
Well, you're on ice, so the possibility is there. You know, they don't wear helmets when they curl.
That's true. It's a little slipperier than bowling.
Yeah. And those alleys are really waxed well. Bob, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program to talk about this. One quick question I want to ask, and I know, again, this is another one I usually ask you. I understand how someone could possibly find a lawyer who will take this to court or any of these weird lawsuits, but why do judges just don't say, "Oh, come on, I'm throwing it out"?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and a lot of people will think that, you know, we really have this axe to grind with lawyers. That they're just really, when it comes down to it, I mean, I don't agree with what they're doing, but they are doing their job in an adversarial system. It's the judges that are dropping the ball, and the reasons for them doing that, because they're supposed to be the gatekeeper to the courts, but in America, in a lot of places, they're elected. So if there's a sympathetic case, somebody was injured, even if it was their own fault, the judge doesn't want to look like, you know, somebody mean-spirited. They want somebody to get money that they might need, even if they don't deserve it. That's one reason. A lot of there's another reason is that they are lawyers, and they like to give a lot of judges like to give everybody their day in court. Another reason is they just sometimes are avoiding the difficult decisions.
People can find out more information by going to the website, and the website is
centerforamerica.org.
Centerforamerica.org. Thank you very much, Bob, for being on the program with us once again. We'll hear a little of you in a few moments on the show.
Thank you, Peter. Always nice talking with you.
Bob Dorigo Jones, radio host and author of Remove the Child Before Folding, 101 Stupidest, Silliest, Wackiest Warning Labels Ever. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for the show, which is show number 0307, and you'll find links to Bob's website. And coming up right now is this week's edition of Let's Be Fair. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob Dorigo Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. What would you do if a drunk driver rammed your car while you were sitting in it and then just drove away without stopping? Many of us would probably call 911, and then if we could, follow the driver to get the number on his license plate. That's exactly what a woman in Portland, Oregon did after she was hit late one night. But as she was following the car, the drunk driver ran a stop sign and hit another car being driven by someone else who was also legally drunk, and a passenger in that car later died of his injuries. Now, the family of the person who died is suing not only the drunk driver who hit him, but also two bars that served the drunk driver alcohol that night, and the first driver who was hit. Why? Well, they claim the first driver shouldn't have followed the drunk driver after she was hit. Let's be fair, this is a tragic story, but the first driver who was hit was actually the only sober driver of all of them, and she didn't do anything illegal. Now she's being victimized again by the justice system. Find out more. Visit our website at centerforamerica.org.
If you or someone you care about is struggling with food and body image issues, don't ignore the signs. Eating disorders are serious, potentially life-threatening illnesses, but recovery is possible, and you don't have to suffer alone. Call the National Eating Disorders Association helpline at 800-931-2237 or visit nationaleatingdisorders.org to take a confidential online eating disorder screening. Recovery is possible.
Actors, authors, quirky guests, and the comic book. It all comes to you here on the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk about Senior Star Search. Plus, we do indeed have an idiot of the day, but I got one more Stuff File news story to share with you right here, right now, before we get to that point. And you know, as a Canadian, I find it mildly amusing that whenever someone in the U.S. seems to be upset with their government or a Supreme Court decision, they immediately bark out the idea that they're going to give everything up and they'll move up here to Canada, like we want them. Well, it happened again recently after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states cannot discriminate against certain people when it comes to marriage. Many Americans expressed their anger with the ruling in a most perplexing way, noted the Edmonton Journal in Alberta. In their anger, they vowed to move to Canada. Now, that wouldn't provide much escape from equal rights, however, since we, here in Canada, legalized equal marriage 10 years ago. Yeah, so I guess they're left with moving to Canada to escape socialized medical care. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, scratch that idea. Anyway, let's get to our next guest, shall we? They say that talent knows no bounds. Well, it also doesn't know any age. In Hollywood, Jackie Goldberg, a.k.a. the Pink Lady, and Barbara Van Orden are the driving force behind Senior Star Search, a showcase of singers, dancers, comedians, and variety acts for talents 55 years and over. On the line with us right now is Barbara Van Orden, and she joins us from California. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Peter. Hi. How are you?
Just tickety-boo. Thank you very, very much for starting this and for being on the program. Speaking of starting this, when did you and Jackie come up with the idea of creating this Star Search or the Senior Star Search?
Well, you know, I have to tell you, Peter, we are so excited about this. And I'll tell you how it all started. And as I said, my partner is Jackie Goldberg, who is the Pink Lady. And, we're both over 55. In fact, Jackie likes to say she's 83 and three quarters. So she's very proud of her age. But here is what is going on. You know, I've been in the entertainment industry a long time, you know, since a kid, various, you know, from a model to a singer to, you know, having my own production company, Universal Studios, and producing. And you know, there are so many out there of seniors that are so talented, and yet a lot of them just kind of hang it up, as they say, when, you know, there's a certain, say they were a Broadway star. say they were played nightclubs, and when they are no longer available, the nightclub role, you know, nightclubs itself, or roles on Broadway, they kind of just say, well, I guess it's over. Well, you know what? Like Yoga Barry said, it's not over till it's over. So here we are. And I said, you know, Jackie, this is insane. So what we have come up with is we thought, you know, we see a lot of the talent shows and this search, that search, and it's wonderful. And it's, and I also, you know, I produce LA's Next Great Stage Star, which is for 18 to 32 year olds, and they go on to Broadway, and they go on to Las Vegas, the top shows. And but there was nothing for seniors, and they're still very, very talented. These people had wonderful roles. They were, as I said, they were on Broadway, they were on television, they were. But yet they think there's nothing left anymore because there's really no place for them. So we put together a competition called Senior Star Search, and it's 55 years young and over. And we had wonderful, wonderful people come. We had over 200 people that wanted to audition. So we had 2 days of very strenuous auditions, and we chose 14. And it was very, very hard. But we had to choose 14 because, you know, otherwise when the final came, we'd be there a year and a half sitting in the audience, everyone, if we took everyone. So we chose the 14, and we're going to have on the July 12th, which is a Sunday, we're going to have the finals at the Barnstall Theater in LA. And I'll tell you what it is. We're having big production numbers. So it isn't something like, and I don't put it down, but it's not like, say, something for a senior center or assisted living home type of situation. It's not that at all. It's a very big, large production numbers. We even have some ladies who look so wonderful. Peter, oh my God, they look incredible. And they are our senior Star Search showgirls. And the talent is so wonderful, I can't begin to tell you. And I have, for judges, what I felt was we should have, to have just any judge is okay, but I thought we need judges that can help these people get jobs. You know, somebody that can put them in commercials, or somebody put them on a sitcom on television, or they can go in and do some plays and dinner theaters. So one of my judges is Academy Award winner George Chakaris, you know, from West Side Story.
Right.
And George, my God, you should see George at 83. I hope he doesn't mind me saying that. He looks wonderful. I mean, he looks 50 years old. He is so wonderful. Anyway, the other judges are director-choreographer Michael Kelly. And he does a lot of things for commercials and television programs. He's a wonderful director out there, still working, choreographer, and he happens to be the brother of Gene Kelly.
Ah,
you know, the actor,
yes.
The famous dancer, Gene Kelly. And then I have a celebrated director who's done a lot of shows on Broadway for Time Daily, Rita Moreno, and his name is David Galligan. Oh, is he wonderful. And casting director, Michael Donovan, who is outcasting many plays and things. And then there's a talent agent, Steve Stevens. So all of these people can help the talent that we're showing. And we're so excited because we have such celebrity endorsement and we'll have many stars there. And it's going to be wonderful. And do you know that according to a recent Census Bureau report, there are now more than Americans age 55 and older than any other time in history?
Well, that's because, you know, that one of the reasons, of course, is the baby boomers. And, of course, the baby boomers, we have no intention of dying. So we're going to be around for
absolutely
a long time.
That we don't do dying. That's out. And we don't do that at all. And they're exceeding 55 million nationwide. I mean, you've got people like Betty White, 93, Carol Channing, 94, Tony Bennett, 88, Angela Lansbury, 89, Theodore Bekele, 91. They're still performing. And, you know, Cloris Leachman, 89, Florence Henderson, 81, Valerie Harper. She stole the show on Dancing with the Stars. She's 75. So it's a lot of wonderful, wonderful talent who are still very vital, and I just can contribute so much. One of the reasons why we're doing all this is too because we're very fortunate, Peter, because we have behind us, who has strong support, is the mayor of L.A., Eric Garcetti, and also Mitch O'Farrell, who is Councilman Hollywood Chamber of Commerce. And it's really where this is all going is we're aiming it for to have a special theater in L.A. for ongoing productions year-round, senior productions, because there's so many seniors, and it's wonderful. These people are so lively and vital that it's just, it's beautiful. In fact, you know, we've had some wonderful things come in. Kurt Douglas sent us an email, and he said, what a wonderful idea. And then Debbie Reynolds says, Senior Star Search, I think this is a fabulous endeavor. And Carol Channing said, when I was growing up, age was never an important factor to me. However, apparently it is to the rest of the world. So isn't it nice to know that there are others in this world, like Pink Lady and Barbara Van Orden, who encourage us to celebrate the contributions of seniors that we bring to society today.
Now, do you think that because, again, your big event is taking place on Sunday, July the 12th, and I'm hoping that this will be one of many. Do you think there's the possibility that down the road, if not necessarily this one, others can be televised so that the rest of us can get a chance, and not only just the rest of us, but the rest of the industry can say, well, you know, so-and-so isn't over the hill. Maybe we should take another look at him or her.
Right, of course. And you're so right. Peter, you're so right. In fact, you must be reading our minds because, as they say in the biz, you know, this Senior Star Search has legs. Already I've been approached for a cable situation. And already, you know, I'm doing two projects in Vegas, entertainment industry projects in Vegas. And already I've been talking to them, and they're very excited to put possibly this in one of their hotels as an ongoing. And it's just been incredible the amount of interest that has. And, yes, we're aiming it for that. Now, this is the first year of this competition. And with the excitement and the people that are behind it, and I'll tell you, we've had many calls because we're going to give a Lifetime Achievement Award to someone, the big name. I can't say it right now because it's supposed to be a surprise to the person. But we've had a lot of very, very, very talented named celebrities call us and say, please, would you consider me? Would you consider me? And the names are unbelievable that would like to have this award. So it's, you know, years ago on television, the Golden Girls, which, you know, was a wonderful program. It had seniors. I mean, it was about seniors. It was quite before its time. And then after that show went off, wonderful show, nothing, absolutely nothing. And, you know, when you have a competition like they have done on TV where they have young and old, it's really not a good thing because, in my opinion, because how do you judge a 21-year-old dancer who is like rubber, taffy, they've been here, they've been there, against a 75-year-old dancer who is not as flexible? I mean, it's really not a fair thing. So that's why Pink and I said, you know what, this is going to be for seniors. So as you know, as they say, give back in life, you know, usually you're helping the younger ones, which I do with the LA's Next Great Stage Stars, I told you, because they're 18 years old to 32-year-olds. But this is really giving seniors another life, another shot at enjoying what they enjoyed throughout their life and their profession. So we're so excited. We have goosebumps, I'm telling you. It's just unbelievably.
And I understand people can find out more information. I guess they could also go to your website, which is barbaravanorden.com, correct?
That is correct. That is correct. Absolutely.
And
go ahead.
Sorry. And as I said, people can find out more information about the event that's taking place July the 12th. It's too late for some folks to get involved now, obviously, but they could find out more information and look forward to getting involved in the events to come. And hopefully the rest of us can get a chance to see it either online or on television in the years to come as well.
Yes, 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 yes. In fact, we've had people we had over 200 people that auditioned. And as I said, we could only take 14, you know, for the show itself or to be the competitors. But we already have people now for next year that are calling us, please put me on the list, I want to audition already. And this is the first year, Peter, the first year.
Upward and onward. Barbara, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk with us. Pleasure to chat with you.
Thank you. Thank you. You're wonderful. You're a lovely gentleman. I enjoyed it tremendously.
Barbara Van Orden, one of the creators behind Senior Star Search in Los Angeles. You can find out more information by going to her website at barbaravanorden.com. And, of course, you'll find the link to the website on my website at thestufffile.com. Just go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0307, and the link is there waiting for you. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Time now for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. The Stuff File presents the Idiot of the Day.
A gang member has died because he tried to gold plate his own testicles to celebrate his 17th birthday. Nazario Conchuza Gonzalez was part of the infamous MS-13 crime family and tried to gold-plate the twins because he had recently been nicknamed Pelotas de Oro, which means golden testicles, so he stole a professional automotive gold-plater from a local garage, having already painted his genitals with a lead-based paint, and attempted the plating. He was just 17, and in reports it suggested that he was a big fan of Austin Powers' Gold Member, where, if you remember, Gold Member had a golden penis. No joke, his own stupidity at thinking this was a feasible situation caused his death. That, and the lead poisoning. Now, I know this is the kind of story that really belongs in the Darwin file, but we already had one of those in the show this week, and you gotta agree that this item does take Idiot to a new height. I mean, why would anybody think that having gold-plated nuts would be a good idea in the first place? Well, one reason, and one reason only. They're idiots!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program, number 0307. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0307. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as P.A. Holder, and don't forget to check out the Stuff File store where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberstationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, streaming on PCJ Media and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on iTunes and Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Today's broadcast could be heard directly in your home, car, or wireless device, or on your computer, so you can listen on an outpatient basis. For those of you hearing the show directly inside your head, please adjust your medication.